Frank Isola, J.A. Adande, Sarah Spain. We're pulling the burst restriction for you guys today, so get at it. New Orleans
short first.
Pulled the burst restriction for Zion. He played down the stretch, and the Pelicans won. About these bursts, these air bursts, these high-altitude bursts, these star bursts, you think Zion's gassed, and then he's past you. He said he felt alive last night. A scout told Brian Windhorst before last night, he shouldn't be out there, the condition he's in, seeing last night. Are you with that scout, or is it important for you that Zion feel alive? Jay Adande, around the horn to you.
I just love that term, alive, alive, alive. And it's great to see him. And guess what? Yeah, he might not be in top condition. Maybe he gets slower as the game goes on, but he doesn't get smaller. He's still a big presence, and it's still going to be really tough to get between him and the basket. And for all that criticism that the Pelicans, Alvin Gentry, got for not playing Zion down the stretch in the first game against Utah Jazz, he really didn't deserve it. He was minus 16 in his time on his court, hadn't grabbed a rebound in his time on his court. In this game, he did a little more, even though he didn't shoot at a high efficiency. He still seemed to be more engaged, more active, more involved, earned that playing time, and it was great to see him make the most of it.
So is too much being made of his condition and his conditioning and his size, or is it just right for you, J.A.?
No, I don't think we can make too much. It's too important. He means too much to this franchise to take any type of risks for these play-in games that might not even mean anything if they don't make the playoffs. And even if they do make the playoffs, it'll be as an 8 seed.
Sarah Spain will bring you in here on what you saw from Zion last night.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I don't want to go against a scout who I presume to know a lot about the telltale signs of fatigue and potential for injury as a result of it. But at the same time, at some point, I think the training wheels have to come off. I'm surprised that just a little bit over a week outside the bubble would make him incapable of being conditioned enough. And if it's not from that absence, then it means that during the hiatus, he wasn't keeping himself in shape, which is a problem as well. This is a guy who we didn't have nearly as much concern about at Duke. Of course, we were aware that his body type was unique and that there would always be a little bit of question. But it feels like since getting to the NBA because of injury, late start, it's been even more careful. I'm okay with protecting the future, but I also think at some point you need to adjust your expectations for how somebody looks when they look good if what they look like is totally different than anybody else.
So you don't believe too much is being made of his conditioning either, it sounds like. Frank Isola, I'll bring you in here. The microscope comes out for every Zion appearance. This time he got some minutes and he said he felt good. What did you see last night?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, the conditioning definitely has to improve. Every time he jumps up, you cringe, worried that he could get hurt. But Tony, what you're saying here is that a 20-year-old kid played 25 minutes, and believe it or not, he didn't turn to dust. In fact, the opposite happened. They put him back in the game with 4:29 to go. His team was up 7. He scored the next 5 points of the game. So what had happened over the past couple of days was that Zion made it clear he wasn't happy. Every time Alvin Gentry answered a question, you could tell that Alvin's thinking, basically what we're doing here, we're saving Zion for his next coach. New Orleans is fighting to get into the playoffs. They needed him to play. He went from 15 to 14 to 25 minutes. Play the kid. It's not 40 minutes. He can play between 25 and 30 minutes. It gives them the best chance of winning. It's a novel approach. Play your best players the most minutes. You increase the chances of winning.
So they're chasing Memphis, and they beat Memphis last night, Frank, with Zion playing those 25 minutes and not turning the dust. Do you think they have a shot here? There's not a lot of room left for improvement.
Well, remember, Memphis, that's who they beat. That's the game they needed to have. So even though they had lost their first two games, they're actually closer. They're 2.5 games out behind Memphis. So they can catch up. The problem is they need to leapfrog two teams, San Antonio and Portland. That's what makes it so tough. They saved their season last night or yesterday afternoon by winning that game.
So none of you thinks it's possible that too much is being made of his conditioning and his size. You know, you think of Charles Barkley. He wasn't called the svelte mound of rebound. He was the round mound of rebound. He had an all right career. Not everybody has to look like
Adonis. That's what I said.
When they come
expectations
out in the court.
Okay. Have to change. Look at him.
Speaking of expectations changing, can we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers for a second? All right, the team everybody wants to think, oh, they are going to benefit from this short season, this bubble. Even their wins don't make you feel so good. Shake Milton's three, bailing them out after San Antonio came back. Spurs had 43 points in the fourth quarter. And then on Saturday, in the T.J. Warren Memorial loss to Indy, Philly let up 46 in the fourth. Brett Brown's indicating he thinks this stinks because he said, quote, I think it stinks, end quote. Frank, I go to you for my problems. In the season of problems, exactly what type of problem does Philly have?
It's a problem, and ESPN had a great stat. It's the first time since 1991 that a team had given up at least 40 points in back-to-back games in the fourth quarter. That's incredible. The Spurs came back from 14 down with 11 to go. And that team, when you start talking about championship contenders, you need to be better than that. You cannot play defense. Give Brett Brown credit for after a win calling out his team. The other thing I'm concerned about, the idea of Ben Simmons at power forward, he played 25 minutes. He took six shots. Six more players on the team took more shots than Ben Simmons. That needs to improve.
So would you say now is not the time for that experiment?
I'm not panicking yet, but we need to get Ben Simmons more involved, Tony.
Jay Adande, a team that always got questions about what they're doing, and yet they've emerged again two games into this restart.
Yeah, but let's not forget, a lot of the issues that they had going into the season and going into the coronavirus break haven't magically disappeared. This is a team that made some pretty significant structural changes in the offseason.
Yep.
J.J. Redick left, they bring in Al Horford. They go bigger when a lot of teams are going smaller, and they're still adjusting it. And now they've changed again in that they're bringing Horford off the bench and having Ben Simmons start at power forward. So can we allow some time for them to adjust? I know there isn't a lot of time before the playoffs start, the bubble playoff, but can we allow and take into consideration the fact that this is a team that's still trying to adjust in a period in which it's been unprecedented and unprecedented challenges to adjusting?
Okay. I'm going to go Uncle Phil on you for a second, Jay. We. What do you mean, Phil? This is Brett Brown saying it stinks. He's the coach of the team. He's the one who's saying this stinks right now. Sarah Spain, what's your read on it?
Yeah, give people some time to adjust, but not three quarters into a game. They seem to have things all right until that fourth quarter. Better or more amazing than Frank Isola's stat is that that's the first time this particular team has allowed 40-point fourth quarters back-to-back since 1967. So, yeah, I would say it stinks if your team is hitting a low mark that it hasn't since the 1960s. To me, this is just a part of the bigger issue, which is focus and concentration and consistency for this team. And when they get to the fourth quarter and the last couple outings, that's where it's revealed itself. Who knows where it reveals itself next? It's always a guessing game with the 76ers.
Man, it's like you guys deal with them with kid gloves, though. It's like, oh, if they could just improve their focus. That's like what you would say to like a fourth grader. Improve your focus and your consistency. And Frank, you just said you gave Brett Brown credit for saying we stink when he's the coach of the team that let up 40 back-to-back fourth quarters.
Well, Tony, listen, he knows he's under pressure to get this team to win. But when I look at that team and I look at Embiid, do I believe that they could win 12 playoff games to get to the NBA Finals? I just don't. I don't think, to Sarah's point, they have the focus or the mental toughness to win that many playoff series.
One more story from the bubble last night. The Lakers with the comeback win over Utah to clinch the one seed. Anthony Davis had the step back three and foul here to seal it. This is just a comedy that a big guy's doing this in the NBA. Sarah, what does a one seed mean without home court in a shortened bubble season?
It doesn't mean as much, right, as it would in a normal season. But in this particular case, for the Lakers, when it's been so close all season long and trying to figure out who has the real edge, the Bucks, the Clippers, the Lakers, the fact that they will assure themselves the number one seed, I think for them, just gives them a confidence that maybe not a lot of the rest of us have. I'm still not entirely sure who's the top dog, but the fact that they can claim this is great for them. The stat that I saw that blew me away was 43-0 this season when they're leading after three quarters. So the opposite of the 76ers, right? They know how to finish when they get that lead.
Frank Isola?
I think it's important because I think LeBron, in a very Michael Jordan kind of way, is inventing motivation. Because after the game, he said, no one thought that I can do this. Excuse me? No one thought that you and Anthony Davis could finish with the best record in the Western Conference? Can you please name names? I don't believe that. But it is quite amazing. First time in the playoffs 6 years, first time with the best record in the Western Conference in 10 years. These are not J.A. Donde's Lakers, that's for sure.
J.A. Chin music, your way. Go ahead.
Yeah, my Lakers were the Showtime Lakers. Magic, Kareem, Worthy, Michael Cooper, all those were my Lakers. And unlike the 76ers, where Brett Brown was talking about the need for paradigm shifts and things like that, a kind of pretty amazing phrasing there. This is back to the old school, though. The basic premise of the NBA. The team with the best player on the court will win, and the Lakers on any given night can have the best player. LeBron was the best player down the stretch defensively in that game against the Clippers, shutting down Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Anthony Davis, the best game, best player throughout this game last night. And so those two truisms, either one of those two guys are very likely to be the best player on the court as they go into the playoffs. So I think they're going to be okay. And Tony, can I just tell you how good it feels to be back on Around the Horn from home, talking to an iPad, talking NBA basketball in August, just like the old days.
I knew. Like, just like last year.
Well, you have that home court advantage right now, which the Lakers will not have because there is no home court for a one seed in the bubble. Maybe they get the best pregame meal. Who knows? Taking a break right here. Buy or sell's next. We're talking about the NFL opt-outs. And that one little asterisk on the guideline, high risk, does not include if you are heavyweight, which would be what? The entire offensive line of the NFL? Every team? Yeah. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The number of NFL opt-outs currently nearing 4 dozen. The deadline set for Thursday at 4 p.m. The scheduling of that deadline got sticky. And now it's being reported some of the specifics of what could clear you after the deadline. One would be a new diagnosis of being high risk for a player. And as I said before, there's an asterisk on that because increased body mass index, while it applies in general population, does not apply to NFL players because they all have an increased body mass index. Or number two, a family member dies or is hospitalized. That's it. So I want to ask you, Jay, is the NFL demonstrating they have this under control in your eyes, or is this headed towards some disruption and confusion?
I'd pick B, disruption and confusion. It's incredibly short-sighted. They're not accounting for the fact that things can change dramatically from month to month. We've already seen it. Just when things seem to be on the decline, then it starts taking off. The states where we have breakouts can change from time to time. Obviously, there's a lot of potential states with NFL teams that can change. So not being flexible is not the way to play this.
Sarah Spain?
I disagree. If we're going to go through this complete suspension of disbelief where we think we can have sports, then you have to have some sort of regulation for the people trying to run them, the people trying to coach them, and the players. If you can allow rolling opt-outs at any given time for a variety of reasons and players elect to do so, how do you know that you'll have enough players on the field? How do other people make informed decisions about what they want to do, not knowing whether or not the rest of their teammates are going to show up? I think making these specific and importantly, being more critical about it than say, baseball was, is incredibly important. We can't criticize baseball for being too loose and criticize NFL for being specific.
Frank Isola?
And J.A. had told me this off the air, so I'm going to steal it. I think what the NFL is worried about is a Cespedes situation where just at a moment's notice you have guys leaving. I think that's why you have to have certain guidelines. And giving the players the opt-out until Thursday, that's enough time to gather information and figure out what you want to do here.
Yeah.
Gather information about what it's going to look like in November? They're going to have
Thursday? But okay. How players are feeling about it. There was a lot of thought that players were using the opt-out as a kind of a negotiation tactic, and the stipend was available for them as well. I believe some teams were worried about that. Wouldn't you say, Jay Adande?
Get your money. Get whatever you can and stay safe. That's what I say.
We'll move on. Eager to hear more and ready to discuss. That's the Pac-12's response to the We Are United movement. Meanwhile, players say they want a faster timeline. Camp is in 2 weeks. Yesterday's panel thought there was value in how wide the demands are from the movement, ranging from social justice to COVID health and safety to compensation. But Frank, just before we sat down, you questioned whether those demands were too expansive or too much. So you can start there, and then I'll ask you this. Can a united front like this work? How should conference and schools proceed?
Well, I think the Pac-12 commissioner was smart to say that he's willing to sit down and listen. But, Tony, what you demand now, and when push comes to shove and you're going to say, I'm going to boycott, wait till the kid tells his parent, yeah, I'm not going to play at Stanford this year. I'm boycotting. The parents are going to look at them. Are you crazy? Of course you're going to. We have rich people and celebrities paying off these schools to get their rich brats to go to some of these great schools in the Pac-12. So you could say it now. When push comes to shove, I think a lot of the players, maybe not the ones that know they're headed for the NFL, but I think a lot of the other players will say, you know what? It's not the worst deal. I'm going to go play.
What word would you just use to describe the players right now, Frank Isola?
What word would I use? I think they're smart, because why not? Listen, The players a few years ago wanted to make money off their likeness, and the NCAA is going to allow them to do that. I think that's a really smart thing the NCAA has done. And remember, too, the Pac-12 is saying, if you don't want to play this year, your scholarship is still good next season. So a lot of the demands that they want, some of them, in my opinion, have already been met.
J.A. Donde, your view of it today?
The word I'd use is the players are feeling empowered. They're recognized that this all is based on them. The structure, the finances of college football is based on their labor, and they're willing to do something. We've seen them have some success, right? Texas athletes forcing changes at that institution. Iowa football players forcing assistant coach to get out the paint, you know, at a cost of $1 million to the university. So they're seeing other players around the country have some impact. I think they want to have some impact as well. And the contradiction is that we've never seen greater value placed on players and recognition of their value, and yet the football players seem to be the most meaningless when it comes to looking after the health and well-being of players, because all other fall sports are getting canceled. Football, they're telling them to roll on so they can make that money.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I mean, my concern is that this whole letter is, yeah, let's set up a time to talk. So let's set up a time to talk about talking, and then eventually we'll talk, and then let's just, I mean, get into it, right? And that's my concern sometimes about putting this stuff off. But I think what the players is doing is incredibly smart, and to J.A.'s point, realizing finally that they have the control over you in terms of trying to set the rules and everything else. But in the end, the product is you, and that money is nowhere to be found if you are nowhere to be found. And I think maybe to Frank's point, I would say the opposite. I think there are plenty of athletes who are not going to go pro, who are going to look at the experience and say, I do want guarantees that my safety will be taken care of even if even after I graduate, that there will be liability on the school if things are not done correctly, because they aren't going to be walking into a payday.
So in 2 days, I've heard from six members of the panel, and I've heard the players are being smart here. The players are thinking about ways to attack a structural, systemic problem that is flawed and is against them. That's what I'm hearing from this panel. I'm also reading columns in San Diego Tribune or other places that, love it or leave it, players, if you don't like the way college is, Frank. I mean, this is a place when you're talking about compensation, when you're talking about concerns here, that you have said in the past, players, you know, can use their voice, use their power, but the schools have to make their own decisions.
Absolutely. I know people don't want to hear this, but if you're going to a place like Stanford or USC for free, that is some type of compensation. I know you have to do something on your end. Absolutely. But you need to get to a point where the players need to take advantage of the system. If it takes you 5 years to graduate from the school, by all means, graduate. This is always going to be in place. And the idea of compensation, I just don't think there are too many sports, too many teams for the NCAA to change on the fly like this.
Yesterday, Kevin Blackstone said, and that, again, that invokes the Title IX of it all, right? That was a cudgel, that was a scapegoat throughout all of this. Sarah, do you have a view on that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Title IX is absolutely being used as a scapegoat. It's let's care about it when we can hold it up as something that will get affected by this negatively, but not when we actually need to enforce it correctly. I completely disagree with Frank. I think the all or nothing way that the NCAA has convinced us that amateurism will work is the reason that we're stuck in this spot where we say take it or leave it, when there is very clearly plenty in the middle that could be done.
Yeah, yeah. Just struck me, Larry Scott's comment. You know, I'm happy to discuss it. We're happy to discuss it, eager to hear. Well, camp is just 2 weeks away here, and everything's in the air. And it's just like when people say, well, let's just have a conversation. This is the conversation right now. Welcome to the conversation. We're having it. We're not talking about having it. We're having it. Well, we're having it without you, Jay Adande, in Showdown. Sorry to say, give a wave, give a smile.
Happy
Jay
chatting.
Jay is done. It'll be Frank and Sarah in Showdown. They just butted heads a little bit and by ourselves. We'll see what happens in Showdown in 2 minutes.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Grand opening, grand closing. Who knows? New York could be eliminated from the playoff bubble tonight by Carolina. Team, are they leaning towards starting Henrik Lundqvist? They always are. 130 straight postseason starts, so who knows what the... But let's talk about last night. Connor McDavid is the fastest kid alive. Look at the Jets melting the ice around him. He had a hat trick, and for the hat trick, NHL employees the ones who threw the hats on the ice. Does a hat trick in a bubble count if it's the NHL employees who are throwing the hats on the ice? Fair or foul on that, Sarah Spain?
Well, foul on doing that against my Blackhawks, but absolutely fair on throwing the hats. If it, you have to have hats on the ice. I don't care who throws them. I don't care how many. You can't have a hat trick without hats.
Frank Isola.
King Heinrich is going to play. He should play. And why not just have the – if it's you're playing on your home ice, why not have your employees take a couple of hats? But here's the thing. Any player that gets a hat trick during the playoffs, throw a hat on the ice. At least one.
All right. So you guys didn't have a problem with it. He's so fast on the ice. Split the point, we'll move it on. Showdown 2. Oh, I love this story. Katie Ledecky has 5 Olympic gold medals. She has 15 world championship golds. She was in an owner's box next to Jordan for a game once, which meant in the box was the GOAT and also Michael Jordan. So where does her not spilling a drop from the cup of chocolate milk on her head when she swam this lap rank in her career accomplishments, Frank Isola?
And she works out at the same health club as Kevin Black, so I'm pretty impressive. I mean, oh my, how graceful is she in the pool? But Tony, come on now. That has to be like a cup holder a little bit. Even though she didn't spill it, still a cup holder.
Why am I not surprised that somehow Frank is unimpressed? She'd have to do a flip turn with the cup still on and do another lap on the way back for Frank to give her any
that.
Credit.
I didn't say that. I said it was incredibly graceful.
You were questioning. You called her a fraud is what you did, Frank.
I did not.
Take a mute. Sarah Spade, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I just want to give a shout out to the man whose soul and grace I embodied on this show on Halloween, Gardner Minshew, who had to sit out briefly after being near someone who tested positive. And he said, did not get it, took one look at me, ran away. So may we all be as scary to COVID as he is.
All right. Spain, today's champ. Isola still hasn't won since we've gone into the pandemic. And Jay Adande,
wow.
Great to have you here. We'll see you tomorrow.